Good morning. Welcome to Mount Carmel Church. I want to give a warm and loving welcome to all of you from the elders, deacon, trustees of Mount Carmel Church, OPC. Thank you. We thank God for you and ask that the mighty blessing of His Holy Spirit would be on all of you as you have taken time to celebrate with us this day. As we celebrate 40 years of gospel ministry at Mount Carmel Church. Amen. Why is there a church of the Lord Jesus Christ here and now at 350 Franklin Boulevard, Somerset, New Jersey? Well, there's a history, and you can read about it in the bulletin that we provided for you. There were important people and places, and we thank God for all of them. They're all a real part of the story. But the bottom line is this. Mount Carmel Church exists to proclaim the good news of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's His story. This history is His story. It's the story of Jesus. Who is Jesus? He is the Son of God, and He is God the Son. John the Evangelist proclaims about Him, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." John the Evangelist, the one closest to Jesus, would have us believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. Paul the rabbi turned apostle would have us believe that Jesus is the crucified and risen Lord of glory. Amen. Who is Jesus? He is the Savior of sinners. Of sinners He calls to repent. Of sinners He calls saints in Christ. Jesus said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And through His Holy Spirit, He is still calling sinners and still calling us to stop breaking God's law and to follow Him and love Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus died on that rugged cross to demonstrate His love. The love for His Father, love for His bride, the church. And that is great news. And so Mount Carmel continues to proclaim the good news of salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. At her best, when Mount Carmel has been at her best, the gospel has been front and center. When Mount Carmel has been at her worst, she has lost sight of this mission. And so we are celebrating 40 years. 40 is the year of 40 is the biblical number of trial and testing. There were 40 years that the people of God were in the wilderness. There were 40 years of Christ's temptation in the wilderness. And so, in a sense, we've gone through our time of trials and testing as a people. But 50 is the number of jubilee. 50 is the number of harvest, the number of Pentecost. And so we look forward. We look forward to the jubilee, the rest for the people in the land, the return of the land to the original inheritance. The release from slavery and debt. Harvest and Pentecost. First fruits. Ingathering of the nations. with the people of God and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so, people of God, stay tuned for the next 10 years. Keep trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep walking according to His gospel. And we shall reap if we do not grow weary and lose heart. Therefore, beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not vain in the Lord. Will you please pray with me for the Lord's blessing and presence as we celebrate? All glory and praise to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Come to us and abide with us as we thank you, our Father God, for these 40 years as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've truly brought us through many dangers, toils, and snares. And we trust you to complete the good work that you've begun. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. May we continue proclaiming that you, Lord Jesus, are the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through you. May the next 10 years be years to proclaim freedom to captives, the ingathering of the nations, and the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. May we continue to proclaim Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Amen. 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 Now I ask that you stand and we sing together number 457, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Thank you. You may be seated.
Good morning, beloved.
Good morning.
Beloved, I'm going to ask you once again to stand up as we read the Word of God. And this is in reverence to our God who has begotten us. So please stand. And our scripture reading is going to be found in Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Let's hear the word of God. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet on Shigionot. O Lord, I've heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, made it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Timur, the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand, and there his power was hidden. Before him went pestilence, and fever followed at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered, the perpetual hills bowed. His ways are everlasting. Beloved, this ends the reading of our scripture lesson. May the Lord bless this reading, hearing, and application of his holy word of truth to our hearts. Amen.
For those who'd like to meditate on the word tonight, you'll find the hymn in 261 in the hymnal. It's What Wondrous Love Is This.
You may be seated. Thank you. Now I want to welcome Pastor Sutton to the pulpit. We owe a debt of gratitude. We thank the Lord for this brother and father helping us through a difficult time while we were without a pastor for a number of years. And the Lord used this brother as kind of the glue to help hold some of this stuff that is the church together. So we're thankful for you, brother. I'm glad that you can come and speak to us.
It was suggested that I take 2 minutes. Anybody who thinks that a preacher told that it's to be 2 minutes is going to stick to 2 minutes. We'll see. We'll see. It's a great joy to be here and just to see so many of you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. My dear wife, Sister Maureen, had a teaching commitment up at Westfield, so she sends her warmest love and greetings to you. There was a sort of brief mention made so far of one of these stanzas in Amazing Grace. And that stanza was thinking of the amazing grace of our God. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. 'Twas grace hath brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. And, you know, that's just not nice sentiment, but it's coming straight from what the Word of God teaches. And I think of the beginning of 1 Peter. And what wonderful words of encouragement. It makes it plain that not only will individual Christians expect suffering, but also congregations may expect suffering. And he tells us in Peter not to be surprised when that comes about. And the wonderful way that Peter opens the letter is to say, okay, as you suffer, and that suffering may be grievous to you, your experience may be one of distress and grief, and that suffering may come in all sorts of different forms and combinations of forms, but to know that God in His saving grace has His hand upon you. And if you happen to be here this morning and do not really know the Lord in a saving way, then this is what you need to know and what you're missing out on right now. And we hope that this morning's celebration will be encouraging to you to draw near to Jesus until you know Him as your Lord and Savior. But we're simply told that not only individually but corporately, God has a wonderful inheritance for His people. We experience the down payment of that already in this life, and especially as the Holy Spirit is given to live in us. Praise God. But the fullness of it will come when Jesus comes back for us. And we're told that the Lord guards that inheritance and sees to it that it does not get defiled in any way. It does not weaken or fade away. It's kept in its fullness because it's an inheritance given to us by grace and not because in any way we may deserve it or have earned it. But He also tells us that we who know the Lord already in a saving way are kept safe so that we will reach that destination and have our part in that inheritance. And we're told that how He does it. And it's kind of an amazing thing. It's a head scratcher in a way. But He supplies faith to us. Faith is our responsibility to continue to trust Jesus Christ and to honor Him as the Lord of our personal lives and our corporate congregational lives. But at the same time to know that He is the one who has committed Himself to continue somehow amazingly supplying that faith to us. So those are great assurances. And even though, as we've heard, the trials and testings and disappointments have come, the Lord will continue that grace until you as individuals, as a born-again Christian, if you are that, and you as a congregation and others who are visiting here, until just that specific purpose for you, for this congregation, has been completed. What a wonderful assurance. That's pretty close to 2 minutes, don't you think? Thank you very much. Praise God.
Thank you for those kind and encouraging words. Now that I ask if you would stand and sing number 32, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Serena, to come up and make a few comments.
We're giving praise and thanksgiving for this branch of Zion's 40th anniversary. We thank and praise God for preserving His church for our good and His glory. We of Mount Carmel and all godly ones who labor in prayer for us give thanks to the Lord with all our heart. We will tell of God's wonders. We will be glad and exult in the Lord. We will sing praises to the Lord's name. How great is the Lord's goodness, which He has stored up for those who fear Him, which the Lord has wrought for those who take refuge in Him before the sons of men. Oh, love the Lord, all you, His godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully rewards the noble doer. Be strong and let your heart take courage, and all you who hope in the Lord. We will bless the Lord at all times. We'll praise His name continually. His praise will be in our mouths. Our souls boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with us. Let us exalt His name together. We sought the Lord, and He answered us. He delivered us from our fears. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed are we to take refuge in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for to those who fear Him, there's no want. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us. The Lord redeems the souls of His servants, and none of those who take refuge in Him will be condemned. Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Sing praises to Him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing with Him a new song. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all His work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the Lord's loving kindness. For the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth were all His hosts. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart stands from generation to generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed are the people He has chosen for His inheritance. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. We will sing and praise the Lord while we live. We will sing praises to our God while we have our being. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all the stars of light. Praise Him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and young women, old folk and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, for the people you formed for yourself will declare your praises. And in heaven, they sing a new song, saying, worthy is the Lamb to take the book and to break the seals. For you were slain, and you purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Yes, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. and every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all things in them was heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever. And this branch of Zion says, Amen.
Thank you, sister. And that is a good reminder. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Amen. I have the privilege of welcoming a brother by the name of Robert Cameron to come and speak to us, give us some comments and remembrances. And I really can say brother because I know that he loves the Lord and I love the Lord. And so that makes us brothers. So, Brother Cameron, please come up. Amen.
Thank you and welcome. I have the privilege of representing the family this morning. My parents, through the work of the Holy Spirit, were encouraged and blessed to start this ministry. And I just want to share a couple of things with you that I thought might be appropriate for this occasion. One is a quick story. And back in 95, I think it was, when this building was dedicated, there was a big program. A lot of people were assembled. And my dad was up at the pulpit, and he was thanking all the people that were involved with the ministry and getting the church built and started. And when it was all over, I went into the office, and Dad was there. His shoulders were slumped, and he had his head in his hands. And I'm like, Dad, what's the matter? And he said, Robbie, why didn't you remind me to thank your mother when I was up there? And I was like, you know, and it didn't occur to me either. We both sat there. I didn't know what to say. We were both ashamed of ourselves for not acknowledging my mom. And so with this occasion, I'm going to correct that oversight. Okay. Because, you know, the Holy Spirit came upon my mother as much as my father. And I have no doubt that this ministry wouldn't have flourished and gone on as long as it did without the help of my mother and my father behind him as this ministry was put into place. And so I thank God for her, and I want to acknowledge her contribution to this ministry. The other thing I want to share with you is that, as some of you know, when Dad would have his weekly sermons here, he would prepare an outline with a detailed summary, and he also would put in a one-page meditation that he entitled Honey from the Rock. And over the years, he had quite a few of these meditations collected. And it was about a year or two before he passed away. I was talking to him at home one time, and he gave me a thumb drive with all those meditations on it. And you know, the years went by. I didn't even know what I did with it. A couple of months ago, I was cleaning out a drawer, and I found the thumb drive with these meditations on it. So, with your indulgence, I'm going to just read one of them to you now. This is one. And the other thing, let me just share with you. You know, when I look back at some of those meditations that he wrote, they were so insightful. And you know, I praise God that he gave my father the insight and the intellect to share God's word and break it down to us in a way that we could understand. I mean, he really touched a lot of people through the Holy Spirit for the cause of Christ. So with this one I thought would be appropriate today, because this one explains his views on why we come together as a church in the first place. Okay, so this one is entitled, The Communication of the Saints. And this is a quote that he starts with. All saints that are entitled, that united to Jesus Christ their head by his Spirit and by faith, have fellowship with him in his grace, sufferings, death, resurrection, and glory. And being united to one another in love, they have communion in each other's gifts and graces and are obligated to the performance of such duties, public and private, as to conduce to their mutual good, both in the inward and outward man. And this is a quote from the Westminster Confession. This is the first paragraph, he writes, of the Westminster Confession article on the crucial doctrine of the communion of the saints. It is crucial because of the current heresy that is calling for the saints to leave their local churches and have fellowship around the radio or TV or the internet. How can I share my gifts with members of the body of Christ in isolation? How can I comply with the imperatives of Hebrews 10, verses 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching? These are not trite questions. They bear directly on our obedience to the word of truth and sanctification. The discerning reader can see from the writings of Paul that he cherished the fellowship, prayers, and service of the saints, because the mystery of the gospel is communicated to the church according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul argues, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." And that's from Ephesians 3. After the gospel was penetrated in our hearts and minds, we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord, from whom we all have a common name. Spiritual growth is not simply listening to the preaching of the word. A vital part of it is communion with other saints who share common faith. All who by faith are committed to Jesus have been given gifts which are to be used in the ministering of the needs of the growth of other saints. The gifts to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors are special gifts and are not possessed by all saints. But there are some gifts that are just as important: witnessing, encouraging one another, exhortation, giving, teaching, showing mercy, and cheerfulness are all important gifts of the Spirit that can and should be used in the fellowship and communion of the body of believers. For example, one saint might be able to teach God's word with a simple clarity that enhances all who sit under his or her teaching, but is inclined to depression and worry. This particular individual is in need of both exhortation and cheerfulness, which other saints can provide in fellowship. But if that one has removed himself from the fellowship and regular communion with the saints who possesses that which they need and God has provided, he will be needlessly lacking. One of the things that this writer has noticed is that the very ones who have benefited greatly from the fellowship of saints are among the number of those who are abandoning the organized church in favor of complete independence from it. Believers who are also in need of availing themselves of the authority and discipline of the church, the proper and fruitful administration of the sacraments, baptism, and Holy Communion have been commuted to the organized church, and also extreme measures of correction and in cases where such is needed. All believers who neglect the communion of the saints do themselves tremendous disservice and hamper their own growth in the Lord. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? The answer to these questions is obvious: none. And consequently, we who name the name of Jesus as personal Lord and Savior ought to cherish the fellowship of other believers so that we can benefit from the gifts of the Holy Spirit in them. If you are lacking in this, please vow to do better. And this is kind of the style that my father had as a preacher, as many of you I'm sure can recognize. I thank you for your time.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. Sister Linda?
Good morning. I'm going to sing for you today. He is here. I sense the awesome moving of the Holy Spirit, and I see His countenance resting on your face, and I know that there are angels hovering all around us for the presence of the Lord is in this place. He is here, hallelujah. He is here, amen. He is here, holy, holy. I will bless His name again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear Him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch Him. You will never be the same. I searched for truth among the shadows dark and lonely, and I gave up on finding that strong and lasting love. And I tasted all the things that sin could think to offer me, but today I feast on manna from above. He is here, hallelujah. He is here, amen. He is here, holy, holy. I will bless His name again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear Him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch Him. You will never be. You will never be the same.
Amen. I hear you, Roxanne.
Amen. Thank you, sister, for those encouraging and blessing words. Amen. Brother Charles. Brother Charles is another one of those people that I thank God for, because he's another one of those glue people that hold things together. And so if things need to be fixed or painted or something, he'll do it or find someone to do it. And he might even get me to do it sometimes, which is fine because I can help too. But so I'm thankful for this brother and glad that he will speak to us now.
Thank you, Pastor. Greetings to our pastor.
the OPC session, visiting pastors, guests, members, and friends. I have been given the honor to speak to you today about some of my history throughout the years here at Mount Carmel. I joined Mount Carmel 23 years ago after hearing the teaching and preaching of Pastor Cameron, and I never looked back. Dedicated to this church has always been important to me. This is why I commit countless hours here for the maintenance, growth, and awareness of this great church. 40 years is a major milestone, and I stand before you proud of that milestone. This celebration is not just for food, gifts, and laughter, but also to hear the word of God and to look back over the 40-year journey. It's a time to reflect on how faithful God has been to us. Through the good times and bad, God has been in total control and has kept and blessed Mount Carmel. To God be the glory. I can say proudly that many of us have played a part in helping to reach this milestone. Today, I want to thank the OPC, supporting pastors, the session, members, staff, and friends who have served over the years and supported the church. We have weathered many storms and has not always been easy, but God had mercy. Our faith and fight to win for the Lord is what allowed us to celebrate today. To God be the glory. We will never forget the vision for Mount Carmel through our beloved pastor, Robert J. Cameron. His aspiration and hope has not died here because of God's mercy and grace. So today we give honor to the founding father. Some of you are no longer members here with us, but I ask you to consider coming back to join us. God has heard our cries and is doing great things here. We are determined to prevail with the Lord's help. Prayers, hard work, faithfulness, and generosity has helped Mount Carmel to remain strong. This has been demonstrated by good choices the church has made to keep the doors open. Throughout our 40-year journey, we have had to look over our business models to ensure that we were being led by the Lord. We have always strived to do so while ensuring financial soundness, even in the tough times. We must constantly review our goals and be wary of providing old solutions to new problems. We have to take advantage of windows of opportunity that God opened for us. Above all, we must continue to keep our eyes on the Lord. I close by thanking you and those members who have gone on with the Lord for what we have in Mount Carmel. It would not have been possible without our trust in the Lord. It's now 40 years since the creation of Mount Carmel, and what remains the same is it's a place to help souls to be saved. There are still many mountains we must climb. But the good news is we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He will give us the strength to continue. I want to thank my wife and for her blessing to me and also to this church. Thank you all for coming and listening. To God be the glory for things he has done. God bless you all.
Now I have the privilege of introducing to you, well, some of you already know
him better than I do. This is Keith Graham. Keith loves the Lord. He is a gospel minister. And he graduated from Reformed Episcopal Seminary, the same class as Robert J. Cameron. And so, but I think he was a little bit younger. Robert Cameron going to seminary later on in life. But Brother Graham has remained a good friend of Mount Carmel, and he's one of the, I think there were 14 ministers who preached here for 3.5 years in between pastors. And so I want to extend a warm welcome to Brother Graham.
This is a very special congregation, and you're observing 40 years of existence, but remember, it was all begun before the foundation of the world. Amen. Before I read and by God's grace expound upon the 138th Psalm, please join with me in prayer. Come, thou almighty King. Come, holy Comforter. Come, thou incarnate Word. Gird on thy mighty sword. Our prayer attend. Come, and thy people bless. Give thy word success. Spirit of holiness on us descend. Amen. Hear the inerrant, infallible, fully inspired, holy word of God as we have it in Psalm 138, a psalm of David. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. Please be seated. This inspired song begins with praise, verses 1 and 2. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. Although wholeness of heart is to be our holy aspiration, I speak in passing to David's reference to the gods. He is speaking not of false gods, but of kings and others who are in authority, as God himself calls them, in another psalm, the 82nd. So whether it was King Saul, his bitter enemy, whether it was King Hiram, his friend, whether it was Joab or Benaiah or other of David's mighty men, he praised the one almighty God in their presence. Though he was often far from the tabernacle, which would become a stone temple by the hand of his son, while fleeing from his enemies, praise to God still filled his heart. And David found edification. He was built up through praise. As he considered God's loving kindness, whether it came through Jonathan, or through Abigail, or through Barzillai, or without any human intermediary, however it came, he had no fear of man and was ready to give God the glory at any time and any place. What about us? Do we spend our days in the land of grumbling and complaining about what is not and what we have not, thus bearing no good witness to anyone? Or do we redeem the time by praising God and giving him glory with boldness before the mighty ones of the earth who are coming to nothing anyway? While we are being revived from strength to strength until we appear before God in the heavenly Zion. While we are being transformed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. David was full of praise also for God's truth, his written word, which he has exalted above all his name. That is, above all else by which God makes himself known. We know his name, we know God's name as Creator by what he has made, how it displays the majesty of his power, his divine attributes. But we know him better as the Holy Spirit wields his living and active, sharp sword to give us saving knowledge in Christ. So we are not surprised that with zeal, David in this psalm praises God for his truth. For David had received that truth directly from God. Listen to the aged King David's last formal words. Thus says David, the son of Jesse, thus says the man raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob and the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of God spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me, he who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Now consider this. Do you have the word of God any less than the son of Jesse did? Do you not have more, in fact, revealed truth than David ever had? Let me give you an example. You new covenant Christian believers know the answer to the question which the Lord Jesus put to his enemies, a question which they could not answer, which question he drew from another psalm, 110th, and which I will now paraphrase. Here it is. Just how, you know it all, Pharisees, just how does David in the Spirit call Messiah Lord, if the Messiah is David's son? The Pharisees were clueless. They had no answer. But we know the truth as it is in Jesus. We know that He is both God and man. We know that our Lord Jesus Christ is both the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star, the light of the world. How much greater must our praise for God's truth abound before men, great and small? Can we contain it? Can we contain our praise for God, beloved? Not only that, but David wrote this psalm in remembrance of what God has already done. Verse 3, in the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. We know from yet another psalm that the works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endures forever. He has made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. So David strengthened himself in God as he studied and remembered God's honorable and glorious works. What works? Well, for one, those answers to prayer and great works David remembers from his own life. From God delivering him from the paws of wild beasts, to giving him victory over the Philistine giant, to preserving him from Saul's malice, to forgiving him for flagrant and heinous sin. Even more importantly, David would have remembered God's great redemptive works in history. Those works which are the central plot, so to speak, of history. The rest is backdrop for the unfolding of His great eternal purpose, which is to be consummated in Christ. And in such remembrance, we too can strengthen ourselves in God. The God who delivered David out of all his troubles is Mount Carmel's God. Study His wise works and remember them, strengthening yourselves in God. The God who brought the Israelites out of the iron furnace that was Egypt is Mount Carmel's God. Study His works of power and remember them, strengthening yourselves in God. The God who had turned a frightened and betrayed teenager into the second highest authority in that same Egypt, by whom His very betrayer brothers were later saved, is Mount Carmel's God. Study the perfect providence of the God of Joseph and remember it, strengthening yourselves in God. The God who provided a lamb and a thicket for faithful Abraham, who received His son as though back from the dead in a figure, is Mount Carmel's God. Study such works that foreshadow the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world and remember them, strengthening yourselves in God. Be strengthened in God as you study and meditate and hear His mighty works that He has recorded for us in Holy Scripture. And above all, keep in remembrance that God did not spare His own Son. The resurrection of the Son of God is not figurative as in Isaac's case, but quite real. following a real and brutal death by crucifixion and a real burial. And especially when you partake of the holy, spiritually strengthening meal that Jesus ordained, remember, Christian, that you are united to him. And if found faithful to the end, like Father Abraham, you will share in his resurrection glory. As our inspired song moves on, David's praise and his remembrance emboldens him toward expectation. His faith leads him to expect things from God based on God's own covenant promises. Verses 4 and 5, all the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. This found fulfillment with Solomon, of whom we read, Solomon reigned over all kingdoms from the river to the land of the Philistines. As far as the border of Egypt, they brought tribute and served Solomon all the days of his life. And men of all nations, from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. What did our Lord Jesus say of himself? Something greater than Solomon is here. And as you continue to proclaim the gospel of him who is our wisdom and our righteousness and our sanctification and our redemption, Mount Carmel can expect great things from God, can expect that the Lord will indeed revive his work in the midst of the years. Don't think the glory days are over. Expect great things on the basis of what the Father says to his Son in the second Psalm. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my Son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. Oh, wait a minute. Except for that part of the world that Mount Carmel has an influence in. Does it say that? No, it doesn't. Of course it doesn't say that. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. We have every reason to go forth boldly to preach the gospel, to make disciples, teaching them to observe all that he has commanded. Trust the Father. Trust that he will answer with lavish abundance his Son's high priestly prayer, which you can remember and meditate upon if you read John, Gospel of John chapter 17. And believe not only the suffering servant portion of Isaiah's well-known prophecy, which has already been filled during the days of Christ's humiliation, but also believe this portion from that very same beloved Isaiah chapter 53. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Finally, let assurance be added to your praise, your remembrance, and your expectation, as it was for David. An assurance based on the proven character and known works of the Lord his God. We can't find much assurance from this world, can we? Well, we walk by faith and not by sight. Do you see yourself as lowly? Do you see the present state of the church as a whole or of this congregation as lowly? Have patience. Have faith. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Might it be that Jesus, who knew the Psalms, who opened them to those Emmaus Road disciples to see all that they said about him, might it be that Jesus, who knew all the Psalms, had this one in mind when he spoke of the meek in his Sermon on the Mount, which I just cited? For verse 6 of our psalm says, though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly. But the proud, he knows from afar. There is trouble on every side. What does our psalm say? Verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. There was trouble in the medieval church of Western Europe centuries ago. God revived his work with that mighty work, that mighty revival we call the Reformation. God can revive his work again in an even mightier way. Trust him. My wife and I pray on a regular basis that we would be privileged to see in our lifetimes the beginning of a movement of God by his Spirit that will make even the Protestant Reformation look small. Do you believe God is able to do that? Do you believe he's able to begin to do it here and with you? May it be so, Lord. May it be so. Enemies surround. With what calm assurance does David gaze upon them? Also in verse 7 of our psalm, you will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. David knew his shepherd who prepares a table before him in the presence of his enemies. And so with us, there is imperfection. There is corruption pervading everything. As Christians striving against sin, we have that constant awareness of indwelling sin and its drag upon us, upon those holy aspirations to wholeness of heart. The wicked are proudly strutting about in our land and glorying in their shame. And there are all the couldas and shouldas and wouldas of our lives. How does the man after God's own heart, David, process that in his God-fearing mind? He writes in verse 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. The Lord will perfect that which concerns Mount Carmel Church. His mercy endures to Mount Carmel Church. Be assured, God will not forsake this work of his hands known as the congregation of Mount Carmel Church. And I'll conclude with what another man of God, namely Moses, wrote in yet one more psalm, the 90th. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Amen.
Thank you for those encouraging words and the last note on assurance. So we want to sing number 693, Blessed Assurance. Please stand and let's worship our God.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, and happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Now I would like to welcome Elder Victor Bonsra to speak to us. He's another one of those folks that have really helped us and kept us together. The Lord used him, and I'm grateful for his continuing work. And we might let him speak an extra couple minutes. Actually, I want to thank you, Victor, for putting this whole celebration together. He organized it and helped us get our ducks in a row, so I want to thank you and ask for a round of applause.
Beloved, I'm so humbled that I, the least in the kingdom of God, have to come and stand here and speak to you. This is something that has really touched me. But before I will thank you all, first I would like to say a thank you to the Lord. Amen. And we have to praise Him. Amen. For preserving this church, for sustaining this church, and He continues to do that even now. And He is going to continue to do it until this world is no more. And not only this church, but all through churches, the universal church. God Almighty, through His Son Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit, is going to preserve the churches, is going to sustain it, and we are going to be vibrant, we will blossom more than the flower. So, beloved, ask the people of Israel, after they've laid down the foundation of the temple of the Lord, what did they do? They sang, they praised the Lord, and they thanked Him. He is good, and His mercies endures forever. That was the song. Psalm 136. And at this time, I want all of you to get a Bible, because we are going to do something here. It won't take long. Psalm 136. Psalm 136. And this is what we are going to do. Only verse 1. We are going to read it. But I am going to read that sentence there, and then you will respond. So this is how we are going to do it. Let me show you first. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. I will say that. And then you will respond, for His mercy and grace forever. So let's do it now. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
For His mercy and grace forever.
And that is for the Father. Now we have to do one for the Son of God. So, again. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And now we have to do one for the Holy Spirit. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
For His mercy endures forever.
Beloved, we always have to give thanks to the Lord. We always have to praise Him no matter what. Whether we sleep, whether we are awake, whether we sit, whether we walk, whether we eat, whether we drink. Beloved, we have to give praise to the Lord. Why? Because His mercy endures forever. Beloved, I would like to take this opportunity to acknowledge a few people. So bear with me, you are not going to be bored. God used Pastor Cameron too, and his wife, Jackie, to build this church. Pastor Cameron and his wife Jackie are with the Lord now. But they still have children with us. And their children's children. They are with us. And we can't go without mentioning them. At least acknowledging them. Because this is why. I believe, nobody told me, I believe. They played a part in this structure that we are in. Yes, God used parents to build it, but they were also part of it. No doubt about that. Even though we don't know exactly what they did, but we know that they did something. So, I am going to ask Brother Robert to stand up, please. Brother Robert, don't feel shy, please. Stand up. Sister Cynthia. Brother Bruce is not here. He couldn't come. Brother Kevin. Yes. 4 children. They played a part in this church. Here. The building of this church. Amen. Brother Rob. Brother Bruce. Sister Cynthia, Brother Kev, I would like all of you to know that it's a story. is to be told about this church, your names will be mentioned.
Hey.
Yes, your names will be mentioned. I also have to use this occasion to commend some people. It's right we commend others because it's in the Word of God. Paul did it. So, as it's written in the Word of God, then it means that we can do it also. First, I thank the Lord for those who have gone before us and still living. Okay? They were here as elders, deacons, you know. I mean, we have a few of them here. We have Elder Park and his wife, Sharon, here. You don't know the part they played. Before, even we didn't have someone to lead us, they played a major part, major one. And then after, we didn't have someone to lead us. Elder Park and his wife Sharon, they were praying for this church. Always. As a matter of fact, we had our pastor because of other pastors. It's through him that we had our pastor. So God used him, okay, for us to get our pastor today. So, Elder, if a book is to be written, you and your wife Sharon, yes, your names will be there. And we will make sure we will spell your names right. Deacon Halliburton is here. Deacon Al and his wife Eunice, they are here. They have played such a great role in this church. God used them, and they did it without complaining. They work hard for this church. I remember all those days. And not only that, he kept praying for us. So, Deacon and Sister Al, God bless you too. Yes, your name will be added in that book if it were to be written. And I will even mention Pastor Keegan. Pastor Keegan is here with his wife. Pastor Keegan, I remember when I needed I need help, or the church needed help. I called him, and he said to me, "If anything that you can do to help, you know." And I know he continued to pray for us, him and his wife. They did, and he is here with us, him and his wife. Pastor, you and your wife, God bless you too. Now, we've come to a point where I will also have to commend those pastors that God used to preach the word to us in season and out of season. They were preaching the word, and these pastors, I tell you, they are so fit. Springtime, they will be here. Summertime, they will be here. Wintertime, they will be here. And they continue to preach. 14 of them. Tell me, which church has, at one particular time, have 14 pastors? No, I've never heard. But man, come on, we did. And don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean that the other churches, God hasn't put his blessings on them. No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that God has blessed Mankamo also, having 14 pastors. You know, we were crying for a pastor to lead us. But we have to be thankful, because God didn't give us a pastor that would be, you know, like come here with an iron fist. God did that before. When the people of Israel were crying, to him, give us a pastor. They forgot that God was ruling over them. So God gave him who? Saul. And things didn't go right. Because it's only God who knows a man's heart. He knows our heart. Yes. Even me standing here, I don't know my heart, but God knows. So God, instead of doing to us what he did to Israel at that time, no. He had mercy. He gave us 14 pastors so that we'll keep on hearing the word. And we did. And I will take a minute to mention these pastors. Some of them are here, not all of them are here. We have Pastor Stan Sutton. He's sitting right here. I tell you, you know, thank you. Yes. Pastor George Costa is sitting right here. Pastor was in Cummins, couldn't come. But his nephew is here. Pastor Sam Bacon, he couldn't come. Pastor Tim Ferguson, he couldn't come either. Pastor Steve Morrison, he is in Virginia, he couldn't come. Pastor John Brogindui, he couldn't come. And we have our brother, Tim Cummins. I think he's somewhere here. Brother Tim. And then we have Will Wood. He couldn't come either. And then we have a pastor from all the way from New Zealand. He came here to visit. He's an American. But he is doing the work of God in New Zealand. But he happened to be here. We call him, and then he came to preach the word to us. And he's called Kenneth Campbell. And then we have Danny Olinger. I call him one day. I said, I need your help. He said, what help you need, brother? I told him, we needed somebody to preach. He said, I'll come in. Praise the Lord. Then we have our pastor, Keith Brown. Yes. And then we have our pastor, Greg Pilato. Pastor, I want you to smile. Thank you for that smile. And then we had brother Paul Wallace. He's not here either. Beloved, and this is why it's important that we always need to continue to praise the Lord all the time, because the people of Israel did it. Throughout the book, praises, thanksgiving, and so today, this occasion is for that. The brothers and our sister have come to speak already, and I thank all of them. But there is someone too that I've singled out, and I want to speak about. So give me time, a little time. Our pastor mentioned a little bit about this brother, but I will add more. Our brother Charles Gates, and I'm telling you that he is the one that God put, okay, to take care of the church. I mean, taking care of the church in everything. When it comes to repairing, he is the one that will arrange for it. When it comes to, you know, winter time when it snows, you know, landscapers and all that, he takes care of all of those. When it comes to reminding me about something that I forgot, he is the one that will remind me. Yes. And this brother did everything. I mean, there is more, but, you know, I can't go, you know, speak about all those, but I'll put them all together. This brother has done so much for Mount Carmel, and he continues to do that. God is using him He's doing too much, but he don't complain. Yes, he keep on doing. Brother Charles, Mankamo, thank you very much. Because you have been doing this even years when Pastor Cameron was here. And after Pastor Cameron, you continue to do that. He is the one that is actually, in charge of our trustees. So the list is ongoing, but I don't want to steal more. Otherwise, maybe his head will be big. I don't want to do that to the brother. Yes. So we thank the brother, and I ask that when you remember Mankamo in prayer, please remember him also in prayer. Yes. Because this brother is a warrior for Christ. Yes. He opens his heart to do everything. And I am blessed by what he does here in the church. Yes. That is our brother, Charles James. I will also want to use this opportunity to thank our sisters in the kitchen. Our sisters in the kitchen. In the years past, these sisters were doing, they were making sure pastors, elders, deacons, church members, everybody got fed and fed very well too. And they did that. And not only that, they were washing communion clothes, ironing them. They were cleaning the communion dishes. They were doing everything. And we thank God for this sisters. All the kitchen crew. We have Kimberly. We have Florence. We have Ellen. We have Sophia. And even Sister Sabrina too. Doing so much for the church. And we are so thankful. Because there is no other day that we can commend this brothers and sisters than today, occasion like this. And that is why we have to do it. And finally, I commend all God's people at Mankamo Church. With their support, everything that they have done, everything that they have done for this church, and also I will add one sister, Cynthia James. She is the wife of our brother Heath. Honestly speaking, I haven't seen any sister, any woman yet that knows how to take care of things. She is a professional, just like her husband. They know how to take care of things. And they will do it right. So, we thank Cynthia for all the work, for everything that she keeps on doing. And we thank everybody. And we thank all of you that have come. Because we couldn't have done this without you being here. So, we thank you. And we thank the Lord for you. And we praise him. And once again, before I will call it quit, I want us to come together again. And I will say it, and then you will respond again. And this is how it goes. We give thanks to the Lord. That is how I will frame it now. Because He is good. We give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. We thank God, for He is good. Thank you very much, and God bless you all.
After I pronounced the blessing which God ordained for Aaron and his descendants, I'll come down to the lectern and also give thanks for the wonderful meal that has been prepared for us. Receive the benediction of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Let's give thanks, brothers and sisters. How good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. Father, may we now experience such a time of being together in unity, feasting upon the love we have in Christ and upon the food that has been prepared. We give you thanks for both. In the prevailing name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Thank you.
Could everyone please, please start going into the fellowship hall? Can we have everyone please go into the fellowship hall?